Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 Flash production.
Podcast, April 1st, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. We're live every Thursday. How are we doing, boys?
I'm pretty good.
The weather is fantastic here today. That's about all I got. The weather is fantastic. It's very warm. We're talking in the AFC East today. We're talking, I don't know. I figured we'd talk a little bit of Tyler Lockett stuff, baseball maybe, Final Four. I don't know. We'll go. We'll just do our thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we get into it?
Get it.
AFC East. Start with the New York Jets. They finished last in the division. What was their record? 2-14?
Yep. Worst team in football.
Worst team in football.
Well, second worst.
Second worst. Yep. That makes sense because that was second pick.
Yeah.
Fire head coach Adam Gase. Bring in
clapping up
new head coach Robert Saleh gets a head coaching job. Good for him. Brandon, you guys will lose your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, true. I guess I didn't want.
I was. I was a little bit confused when you started clapping.
That's true. I did end up losing our DC, but I didn't like Adam Gase. I'm glad for Saleh. I'm glad Saleh gets a chance to do his thing now.
It's about time.
Yeah, it is about time. I can't believe we had him after last year.
They also bring in, was Michael Floor your?
He was our run game coordinator.
Run game coordinator.
Yeah.
Which is a much bigger position on the 49ers than it is on a lot of other teams.
That's very true.
It was run or pass. It was one of the two. I can't remember. But
I would hope run. Mike LaFleur is the new offense coordinator in New York.
Yeah.
So the new coaches in New York. It's going to be a very interesting year for this team. I don't know. I don't see them making a ton of progress. I don't see them being a playoff team or anything.
See what they do.
Yeah. Sign. Two big signs were Corey Davis, 3 years, $37.5 million. They gave him what they think he's going to be worth. They didn't give him what he is. Like, I don't know. He's got potential, and they paid him. Paid him like that.
And they needed one. They needed a premier wide receiver. So they were going to go out and spend the money on that for sure, because I think we've been talking about it. I mean, Rashad Perryman, Jamison Crowder, like, it's just not going to get it done.
No.
Like,
no.
They had to get whoever, hopefully they're drafting the QB, and if they are, they need to get him weapons, which they did. So.
Yep. Then they also signed Carl Lawson to 3 years, $45 million. I did not realize how much money they gave Carl Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 26 years old from the Bengals. Then the stat that jumped out, he was 32nd in quarterback hits, which was second in the NFL last year. So they add not a big name pass rusher, but a pretty effective pass rusher.
One name to just throw out there for them is Chris Herndon. He's the tight end. If you weren't in a fantasy, you probably didn't know who he is. But he's the tight end for the Jets. He was last year. But with this new offense coming in, and it's going to be very similar to what the Niners do on offense, Chris Herndon could have a breakout year this year. Because he's going to be featured with the play action, the rollout game. And he's just a guy that I thought they were going to go sign a tight end because I didn't know if they believed in him, but I think that he is their tight end one right now. So that's a name throughout there for the Jets.
For sure. And then as we mentioned earlier, the Jets do have the second overall pick this year. It is increasingly by the day seeming more and more like it is locked in Zach Wilson. Regardless of our thoughts of Zach Wilson, you feel like they have to trade Darnold now, right? That's the next step.
And that was the rumor today, was that Sam Darnold, they weren't getting the value.
So I have an interesting thing right here. There was 4 anonymous GMs that said what they would give up for Darnold.
Mm.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So it's becoming increasingly likely that they keep both, which I don't agree with, but keep up.
It's the 4 GMs said, one of them said they'd give up, or two said they'd give up third-round picks. One said a late third, and one said a conditional 4th-round pick.
Jeez.
So the value for Darnold is an all-time low. If you're a team that needs a quarterback, I'm specifically talking about Carolina and Denver. teams that are in the 8 and 9 spot in the draft, they would have to give up a lot to move up and get the fourth quarterback in this draft. What's a third rounder to get Sam Darnold? I don't know. Is that so crazy? Like, I don't understand what, like, especially the Panthers. But Broncos, too. Why is a third rounder too much to pay for Sam Darnold?
I wonder if, because right, even though he has one or two more years in his rookie deal, that's still, his cap is still like $10 million. But if you wait for that to run out, chances are you can sign him on like a cheaper one-year flyer, like even cheaper than his deal, which in NFL terms, like $10 million down to like $5 million isn't like a ton. But like, yeah, I also think just the Jets probably are like, hey, we've got this young quarterback on a rookie deal, whatever, we want more than a third. But truth is, he hasn't really proven.
Yeah.
No one, the Jets and Sam Darnold, neither of those two have proven that he's worth more than a third.
So I believe with those two teams, you said Broncos and Panthers, but they're holding out for the draft, obviously. They're hoping to get one of the two of the top five guys, those two teams are. And I think one of the teams that needs to slip in right now is someone like the Steelers or the Patriots. They can go get them right now for that third-round price before, say, the Panthers or the Broncos don't get him or don't get their quarterback in the draft. Then they're going to be like, oh, let's go with Sam Darnold. Let's go try to get him. And then the price goes up, right? So I think if you're one of those teams that doesn't have a bright future at the quarterback position, go spend that late third-round pick if that's what the Jets would take. You know, like, I think it's a no-brainer. But you're right. I mean, the Broncos and Carolina, I think they're holding out the draft. But if the draft doesn't work, yeah, they're going to be out there trying to buy something. You know?
I wonder if that's a day two trade, like during the third round.
Yeah.
They trade Darnold to one of those teams that didn't get maybe the if the Broncos at 9 go defense or whatever, then maybe they trade him like the next day or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I especially New England, we're gonna talk about them next. Like, what's a third round pick for a guy that has the potential to be a star quarterback? I don't know.
For the Cam and Stidham right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I don't understand that really. So next on the pod this weekend, we're going to start our draft rankings. And I think we're going to start with quarterbacks. So we're going to rank the quarterbacks in the draft, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah.
And I want to throw in Darnold into those rankings because that's what Daniel Jeremiah did, that he ranked his prospects and then he put a rankings with Sam Darnold in the class. Because Sam Darnold is pretty much in this class.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. I kind of want to see, like, where I would put Darnold in relation to other guys in this draft. But these rebuilding series is what we're calling, like, they get a lot shorter now that free agency is over. You don't have to speculate as much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Do you let Darnold just walk next year if you take Zach Wilson? Like, that's why I don't know. Like, Darnold just seems like he's going to be gone after if you don't do anything with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone no matter what. Yeah, you're totally right. So why not get the value now? That's why, I don't know. It was reported this morning that I think, like, so...
Reed said the same thing about Rosen.
Yeah.
Oh, Rosen getting traded?
Yeah.
That's true.
But, I mean, yeah, go get the value for him. I mean, someone's going to take a flyer on him now. I mean, just for the potential, you know?
Yeah. He's 24 years old.
Pick or second overall pick or one of the two.
Third, he's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Him
and Rosen, man, tough.
For sure.
Tough.
But Darnold started more than Rosen.
True.
Like,
true.
Rosen was 1 year. Darnold's been, this is going to be his fourth year. He's already played 3, so.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, very. All right, New England, the Patriots, a flurry of free agent signings. We've already talked about all these free agent signings that they had this offseason. You know, obviously, the two tight ends, Aguilar, they trade for Trent Brown, Jalen Mills. They got Kyle Van Noy back from the Dolphins. That was a weird thing. Like, Van Noy signed a big deal with the Dolphins last year, and then they cut him, and he goes right back to New England. They also bring back Cam Newton. That was a big story of this offseason for the Patriots, and it's just Cam. It's just Cam and
Stidham.
And Stidham, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a big call. Cam and Stidham. Is that what they're rolling with in this? Like, I don't know. That just seems weird to me.
I mean, that's the one thing I think they need to address in the draft is the future. So, is the Patriots one of those teams that trades up and goes, tries to get one of the top five, you know? And what does it say their cap is right now?
Ted said, go on baseball season. Yeah, it is, Ted. We're watching the game on my laptop right now. Cap hit for Cam?
No, what is their overall cap, like, number right now?
After they have 14 million for
you. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, with all the signings, I mean, they got plenty of offensive help. Defense, they're getting a lot of guys back. They also signed a lot of people. And so they're kind of in the same spot as the Niners, I would think. You know, like, figure out the quarterback position because these one-year flyers on Cam, I mean, hopefully he does well this year. But if he doesn't, then what are you doing next year? Take another one-year flyer on Cam or someone else, you know? Like,
yeah.
Go figure it out. Go plan for your future.
Ted said nice jerseys. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you, Ted.
We're repping our – Eli didn't get the memo.
Big game.
Yeah, I left my
– Besides the whole year. Now.
Yeah, this is it's actually crazy that our teams are playing each other opening day. We're doing hot dogs for dinner tonight. We're going baseball.
Straight culture.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be fun. Can you air fry hot dogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
I think that's what we...
Yeah.
What have you been doing? Have you just been doing it on the stove?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
So, microwave, air fryer. Just throw them in there, yeah?
Sometimes they boil.
Figure it out.
Yeah, sometimes you boil them.
They don't like, burst.
Sure, they don't burst them well.
15th overall pick for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
This has got to be the highest pick that Bills had in...
Oh, God, yeah.
20 years? I mean, seriously, the one year that they didn't go to the playoffs, I think, I don't know, that might be the only time I've ever had a pick not in the 20s. So, 15th, what do you guys think they're going to do at 15? Because I this is one of the most confusing picks in the entire draft is what the Patriots are going to do.
I mean, just throwing it out there. I would smile at Meteor, but I think the Niners are trying to throw a little smoke out there. But it was reported that the Niners wanted the 15th pick for Jimmy and the 41st pick, I think is what it was. I'm trying to think of the value it was. I'm trying to remember, but I think it was somewhere around
Jimmy
there.
Jimmy and a pick for 15?
Yes. And so, I mean, I would smile ear to ear for that, but Niners are sticking with they're not trading them. But, I mean, if Jimmy G's going to go anywhere, it's the Patriots or the football team. So,
yeah,
that's where I've heard the 15th pick. But if not, I would love to see them go. Man, I want to say corner, but I think they're going to hold on to Stephon, and they have J.C. Jackson this year, so I think they're okay this year on corner.
I almost feel like I don't know what kind of the, like, how this team likes to draft, but, like, it's weird. Like, I don't see them just taking the best available, but, like, I feel like they signed so many people. Like, they're not, like, I don't think they're relying on the draft. It seems like.
I would love to see them take Waddle at 15. If one of those receivers fall, even though Bill's not drafted receivers well at all, especially lately, I don't know. Their best receiver right now is Aguilar.
Aguilar, and then they have Kendrick Bourne.
That's right.
That's true. They could really.
And they have Jacoby Myers, who actually came on pretty late last year with Cam. So.
They
have three tight ends. So.
When I was looking for their looking on Spark at the Patriots, I went all the way down to find Jacoby Myers, and his His cap hit is
$200,000.
It's $3,334.
Oh my god!
It was like $850 whatever, but it was like I don't know if they like restructured whatever, but there was like a line through it, and this is it's like $3,000. That's his dead cap as well.
Really?
Yeah.
The only like what's this team's future at quarterback? That's the biggest question because I think if they don't address it in this draft. Like that's what it confuses me in this whole thing.
I saw a mock draft yesterday that was trade back and get Kyle Trask. How do you feel about that?
Trade back and get Kyle Trask.
How?
I'm higher on Trask than I think a lot of people are.
You like Trask over Mond?
Yes, I think Trask had a bad bowl game and he didn't have Kyle Pitts in that game and just plummeted down draft board.
Because he was pretty high. I remember him being pretty high.
He was like, he and Mac were like right there next to each other, and then Mac had won the national championship, goes up. Trask has a bad bowl game and didn't have Kyle Pitts and goes down. I don't think that's fair to judge those quarterbacks just on bowl season.
Mm, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if Kyle Trask is enough for them. I don't think he moves the needle or anything. I don't know. I really don't believe in Cam though either. That's my biggest problem. I think their best options at quarterback is is Jimmy G or Darnold.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we talked about earlier. I'd rather see them do that than draft a quarterback. Because I don't think Bill wants to rebuild a new quarterback like that.
Now that I'm thinking about it, if one of those, if Elijah Barrett Tucker or one of the tackles slips to 15, I think offensive line is something that they could probably address after losing Joe Thuney.
They got Trent Brown, though.
They did Trent Brown.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of shaky years, but he was really good with the Patriots before they traded him. So
mm-hmm.
The report is Bill Belichick knows how to get Trent Brown to get it going. So.
But that's I do like that. He knows how to.
Well, Trent Brown came into Raiders, so he was on Patriots, had a very good year. And then Raiders signed him. He comes into a training camp 40 pounds over what his expected weight was.
Yeah,
and so reports are that Bill Belichick gets into his butt a little bit and gets him to work out and stuff. So. But hopefully he's good for them. But, yeah, I just that's the first thing that came to my mind. It's like if they did need something, it'd be to readdress that offensive line.
Have you seen Friday Night Lights? I've been watching that recently. I watched the first season. I told Eli he needs to watch this. I watched the first season a while ago, and then I started the second season, and I didn't like it. But now I restarted it, like, kind of the back half of season one. I just finished
mm-hmm.
season one last night. So I'm going to try watching it. I don't know why that.
I love that actor, the coach.
Yeah,
is that his name? Yeah.
That's the name in the show.
Yeah, I don't know the actor, but I love that actor. He's great.
That's such a good show. Texas High School Football, oh my gosh. Right now, is this a playoff team?
No.
I think low-key the division makes it really hard for them.
That's what I was just going to say, because the Bills, I think they got first place in this division locked, and I think the Dolphins are really hot right now, or not really hot, but I think the Dolphins are a really solid team. I would take the Dolphins over the Patriots right now, and so unless somehow they get, like, that third spot in or whatever, I think the Bills, maybe the Dolphins make the playoffs.
Well, I just think the AFC, besides the Chiefs, is filled with a bunch of teams that are going to be, like, 10 to 12 win teams.
Yeah.
Which, Dolphins,
that's,
Bills.
That's what the Dolphins were last year. Like, there was, like, a huge block of teams that all went, like, 11-5 or 10-6. And, like, they all had the same record, but I think it was, like, the Browns, maybe. There was one team out of, like, that block that actually made it. So, like, they have a lot of teams on the cusp, and I just don't see the Patriots, like...
I think the Patriots could be in that group.
Yeah,
well,
I don't think they could. But I don't think they could just make the jump past that group.
Yeah,
so, if they're going to be in that group, I don't think they're going to be able to get through.
I honestly feel like, with the way the AFC is going and how many good teams there is, I feel like the Bills are going to be the only team in the playoffs.
From this division?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised at all. I'm not a big Dolphins fan, but...
I think they're going to go down, to be honest. I think...
Really?
I just don't believe in Tua, and I don't believe in Jacoby Brissett being the guy that they bring in after him. Like, I don't know. I feel like the Dolphins are going to regress from last year.
So, yeah, unclear about this team at quarterback in their future. We all don't believe they're playoff teams.
How do you guys feel about Bill? I mean, how many more years do you think this guy has? If they do bad this year, I feel like he's got to start questioning his future, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to – he's not staying for a rebuild. That's why they signed
him. No, 100%.
This year. He's not staying for a rebuild. Yeah, I think why they brought back Cam is because they were like, Matthew.
Hey.
I think that's why they brought back Cam is because, like, they were like, he's not teaching a whole new quarterback this offense.
Draft day trade. Say something crazy happens, Mac Jones flips to the 7-8 slot.
Do you think they go get him?
Do you think the Patriots try to just go all out and get him? Because there's been reports that they like him, so.
Yeah, maybe. I could see Mac Jones slipping. I could see all this hype around him maybe being
some
smoke.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just crazy scenario here.
I don't know.
I could see Bill going up and get him, though.
Yeah. If he really likes him, for sure. You think there's a playoff? Patriots, are they a playoff team for you? That's what we just asked.
I don't feel like they're that far off from the Dolphins if they get all their defensive pieces back, but, I mean, yeah, I think that they're right on the cusp, but they're by no means a lock.
Yeah.
It's going to be them duking out with the Dolphins.
That's what we're
Cam is better than Tua and Brissett, I feel like they're probably going to be better.
And in the conversation about the guys that are coming back from COVID almost isn't even a conversation anymore because I'm pretty sure two of them retired. I know Patrick Chung definitely retired.
Right.
And then you have Dante Hightower coming back.
That's about it.
So, I mean, besides that they signed.
Huh?
Gilmore playing. He's going to play.
He's just old.
Yeah, he's getting older. Like,
yeah.
Reports were there trying to trade him.
Yeah. All right, Miami. Their biggest signing was Will Fuller. Only a one-year deal for $10 million. Jacoby Brissett, as we mentioned, They also signed Malcolm Brown, which I – and – wait, no. Matt Breida was the Bills. Sorry. They did sign Malcolm Brown, though, which is – and Justin Coleman. Justin Coleman, I think, was not a bad signing for Miami to kind of bring in a nickel guy who was a hot free agent last year. Seahawks couldn't re-sign him like we were going to pay for him. They also – Miami, we talked about this earlier, released Kyle Van Noy after signing him last year from the Patriots. Then they released him, and then the Patriots signed him back. Like, Bill Belichick is just smiling. The biggest question for Miami going into the offseason was, what are they going to do at quarterback? What are they doing with Tua? It's clear that they believe in Tua. They would not have traded out of three if they didn't believe in Tua. So Tua's their guy. Jacoby Brissett is a fine backup option, but he's not Fitzpatrick. They clearly are saying Tua is the guy. What do they do at six? I think that's the biggest question now for this offseason for the Dolphins, is what do they do at six? Because for me, it seems like they really like someone, and the more I look at it, it's Kyle Pitts to me.
I think so, too. 100%. It was Ja'Marr Chase for me at six for them, but now, like, I've been hearing a lot of hype about the Bengals and Joey Burrow saying, go get me Ja'Marr Chase. Like, he's the guy I want, and I can definitely see Chase going five and then Pitts going six now.
And even if it's not Chase at five, it'll be a lineman.
True. Very true.
So do you convert Pitts to a wide receiver? Or do you do the two tight ends? I mean, Gesicki's not bad.
No.
Yeah, I think you run 12, man.
I think you just go, like, Kyle Pitts is just so good.
Yeah.
That we, like, we'll run 12. We'll put one of them in the slot sometimes.
Right.
I don't know.
That's pretty lethal, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if they got Pitts and Tua still can't do it, I feel so bad for Dolphins, man.
Yeah. I think it came up, I don't know if it was one of our podcasts or live shows, maybe we were just talking, but, like, you know, we talk about having, like, two tight ends that are, like, I mean, Pitts hasn't played yet, but he's probably close to starter quality already. Like, he's just a freak. But having two, like, pretty good tight ends, like, seems kind of, like, unnecessary. But, like, if you're going to have a pair of tight ends, like, Gesicki and Pitts is not a bad duo to have. Mm-hmm.
They're both mismatched nightmares. I mean, you can't put a linebacker on them. They're both too fast.
Gesicki's really underrated.
They're both 6'6". Like, the two are just ginormous.
Well, it's weird to talk about back-to-back teams that are going to have two tight ends.
Yeah, right.
If they do take Pitts, the Patriots, that's what they're running with.
Mm-hmm.
The AFC East is going to have more starting tight ends.
More fantasy-relevant tight ends than the rest of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's clear that they like someone. They did sign Will Fuller, Reed, you're right. And I like that signing. The weapons are there. That's the thing with this team is now it's Tua.
Yeah.
This is a huge year for Tua. And I've been saying, I think I said this on a podcast a couple weeks ago, their defense was like the most lucky turnover defense in all of football last year.
43 games in a row.
Right, and Xavien Howard led the league in interceptions, and he is not the best cornerback in the league. Like, this team, their defense especially, got really lucky with turnovers last year. So I'm a little shaky on this team. I don't know. I obviously don't fully believe in Tua either. So definitely the addition of these weapons, I think, help. But I'm not so sure what I – If you have now Parker, Will Fuller, hypothetically Pitts and Gesicki, and you can't throw the ball, then there's a problem there. And I don't know what they got to restart, because Tua's not it if he can't do it this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anything more on Miami? Anything we want to touch there? Do you guys think they're a playoff team? I'm not buying them yet. I really like Flores too, and that kills me to kind of bash him. But I don't think I'm in on this team yet.
I don't like the Bills might not.
Yeah, I don't know. One thing I just remembered is because the Dolphins still have, like, they also have the 18th pick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who do they, like, they can still get, like, I'm thinking, I don't know about 18, but I don't know what the next pick is. The next pick is the 36. I think they could really benefit from taking on the running backs.
Najee Harris, yeah.
Just because I feel like the running back situation isn't horrible because they're not overpaying anyone. It's just kind of like a lot of young, fast guys on, like, small deals, which sometimes works, but it's also nice to have an identity at running back. But
it might help for Najee or Etienne to be in that kind of system, too, where it's three or four running backs rotating in and out. He gets to do what he does best and gets to learn from those other running backs. I don't know. I don't know really else what they would do at 18, but.
Right. Yeah, I mean, as far as it being a playoff team, like, the teams I look at and I compare the Patriots and the Dolphins to, as far as the wild card spot, are teams like the Chargers, the Browns.
Colts?
Yeah,
Titans.
Colts. Yeah, and so those teams, and there's a few, I would probably take Dolphins over Chargers. I mean, maybe that's a hot take. I don't know.
I think everyone just likes the Chargers and Herbert because he's new.
Yeah.
But if that defense is healthy, the Chargers, I think, are a playoff team for me.
Yeah.
I have Chargers. That's why I only have the Bills making it, because I feel like
right.
The Chargers are going to be at the 7 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think they made the amount of studies they needed to. I mean, I don't know where to talk about them, but they got O-line help. I mean, they have still
yeah.
a weapon on offense. And
probably next week will be AFC East. Or NFC East. No, AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last week will be NFC West. Yeah, that we were talking about this before you got in, Matthew. There's a lot of teams that are going to be between like 10 and 12 wins in the AFC, and like just as there was last year, and it's going to be tough for them. Because the Browns, Ravens, Steelers, like only one team wins that division again, so they're battling those two teams for a playoff spot. Yeah, it's going to be tough. All right, Buffalo, a really just like literally the most mediocre offseason they could have possibly had. They did not do anything. They lost John Brown and signed Emmanuel Sanders. They extended Micah Hyde. They added Mitch Trubisky and Matt Breida, like two of the most boring guys at their position possible. I don't know. They literally did nothing this offseason. They have the 30th pick, so they're going to add someone, but not someone great.
I like the Emmanuel Sanders signing just because Emmanuel Sanders will stay on the field for them. And John Brown had a lot of injury history last year, had a lot of problems for them. I felt like when John Brown was on the field, I think it helped Stephon Diggs a lot. So I do like the Emmanuel Sanders signing, but you're right. I mean, they didn't make any splash plays. They kind of just said we're okay with what we have, and there you go. But man, I don't know what if you're part of the Bills fan base. I mean, what about their moves tells you? Oh, okay, we're ready to take on the Chiefs now.
That's what I'm confused about. Is that it didn't seem like they were really close last year.
No.
And then they didn't do anything.
And maybe like, I mean, I think Josh Allen is great, but like this was his first like this was like breakout year for him. So I wonder if like he just needs to kind of like. Like, he was really good, but I wonder if he was maybe just, like, good, but still a little bit too raw.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like when they
get better.
Like, his whole season, they're comparing, like, this season to his last season. Like, his stats just, like, skyrocketed. And, like, I wonder if it was just, like, you can't go from being, like, crappy just being, like, super, like, consistent, like, really good. Like, I wonder if this was just, like, okay, now he knows his potential. Like, let's...
I think Stephon Diggs helped that a lot.
Yeah.
I think that with Stephon Diggs, it can't be measured. Because the dude transformed what Josh Allen could do.
Adding a receiver, and then he end the season, like, leading the league in receiving yards or receptions or something like that? Like, obviously that does make a impact.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen needs a run game.
Yeah.
I mean, just like every quarterback, they became one-dimensional at the end of the year, and then they couldn't hang with the Chiefs offensively, but they became one-dimensional, and I feel like they didn't really address that. Matt Breida is talented, but he's never on the field.
If
Zach Moss can improve a ton, then that they
their O-line too in the run game needs
to
improve as well.
Yeah, not just the running back, obviously, but yeah, they just need to run the ball better to get those teams.
Yeah.
They have three running backs on the roster, though, right? So do they go draft one? I
want to see them draft, but like
they've
literally
they
drafted Moss and then drafted Singletary before that, like. Drafting a running back is
you made your bed with those guys.
100%. Yeah, like I'd love to see him draft, but like the more I think about, I'm just like it's just drafting a running back.
Where do they pick? Were they 20? Or what?
30.
I mean, I could see him maybe in like the third round or fourth.
Yeah,
round.
But who do they go in the 30 spot? You go for the best alignment.
You need a
lineman.
You need maybe like a second corner would be nice for them to grab.
I just don't even know who's going to be there.
No, exactly. I don't either. All right. The big question for the Bills, I think, has to be Josh Allen is the next big quarterback to get a deal. It's that quarterback. It'll be Lamar or Josh Allen will be the next one to get a deal. I guess, or Baker. Is that draft class? They're the ones that are up, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had that conversation about Baker a couple weeks ago. It's Lamar or Allen. They're going to get similar deals, I think. Probably Where do we think Josh Allen's money, how much do we think he's going to get?
SpotRack has his calculated market value at, like, 42.
I'd say 45 is where my number
is. Reed said they need an edge rusher. Sorry, just to...
Yeah, he's right.
Got to get to Mahomes. That's just,
yeah.
That should be their goal.
They did not have a good pass rush last year, so definitely edge rush, yeah.
But yeah, like the 40 to 45 range, I think is...
Mahomes' money.
Pretty
I think it's what he's
going
to ask. And I don't blame him. Like he's going to get
it. No, he can throw and he can run.
I think you'll get... I don't know if he'll get quite Mahomes' money. I think he's going to – I think he'll ask for, like, a 3-4-year deal so he can get a new one when that TV deal comes and the cap gets even bigger.
Yeah.
I think it'll be around $40 million for, like, 3 or 4 years because the TV money kicks in 2023.
Well, then that's the question, though. Do the Bills try to get him to sign that 10-year
– If he wants that 10-year, then he's going to ask for the same – he's going to ask for $50 million. A year. Like, he's going to want the same amount that Mahomes did. And which, rightfully so, like, if he's going to ask to be locked up, or if they're going to ask him to be locked 100%. Up for 10 years, he's going to want the guaranteed money. So, yeah.
Man, I wonder what the Bills are thinking, because either...
The only problem is, like you said, he's had 1 year.
Yeah.
Where he's been elite. And if you want elite money, I think you have to be elite for a little more than 1 year.
I think they're going to do great. I think he's going to do great this season, but like I feel like he has to at least meet what he did last year if he wants that back. He'll still get paid. Like he'll still get paid no matter what, but if he really wants to get paid like close to Mahomes' money, I think he has to replicate what he did last season, at least.
100%. And you can say the same thing for Baker. We had this whole conversation about is Baker going to get the money. If they don't make the playoffs this year, then Baker's not getting that money.
That's the only argument he has to say he went to the playoffs.
Ain't no way.
Yeah, that would be interesting. If I'm the Bills, even if I'm Josh Allen, if you bet on yourself, which it's pretty clear that he has just over the past few years working hard on building up his accuracy, then this deal will not get done until the next offseason. Both teams have got to wait and see what happens.
Lamar's the tough one. We can talk about that for an hour. And
yeah.
How do you pay a running quarterback that much money?
How do you pay a quarterback that you're not comfortable with?
I think out of anyone, though, I'd pay Josh Allen. And it's just right now, if I had to pay someone, I'd pay Josh Allen. So I think the Bills are the best spot for this whole thing.
Yeah, and you try to give Lamar a... Ow, I just poked my eye.
Saw that.
You try to give Lamar a low guarantee, not very many years. Problem with not very many years is, because I'm just thinking, if you give him a 3-year deal, Lamar... And after those 3 years, he's still healthy and still elite, then you're going to have to pay him even more.
Even tougher decisions.
Right. That's the problem with signing Lamar is you don't want to give him that money and then have him be hurt or can't run well anymore. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Speed is quick.
So it's like...
What if they gave him a 3-year, $120 million with...
How much is that a year?
80 guaranteed. Would you be okay with that?
40 a year. 80 guaranteed.
What if they just gave him a bunch of incentives for throwing? they're like, you're making it like your base
4,000 yards.
Yeah, like your base salary is like $25 million, but you can go up to $40 million if you throw like this much or whatever.
Half of your game check is if you throw over like 180 yards.
He's calling audible every play. They're like read option right, but. Hey, slant, RPO, baby, RPO.
Just double slant.
But, I mean, how would you go? 3-year, $120 million with 80 guaranteed. Would you like that better for the
Ravens,
or would you like it long-term?
No, I think you're fine. I don't think you do it long-term. I'd rather have that than...
That's the problem.
But I don't know where else he would go. Like, their offense is literally catered to him.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean... any team willing to go give Lincoln Riley the bag or something, anybody like that is willing to be like, all right, let's just change the offense. But, yeah, I don't feel like there's a ton of existing coaches that really want to run that style offense right now.
Were you saying something?
No, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, there's no way the Ravens would sign a huge deal for him because they know, like, there's probably not a lot of...
Maybe they will.
Maybe, yeah. But I bet not a lot of other teams are, like, gonna throw the house and try to get Lamar just because like their offense is so catered towards him.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, if he starts to slow down or whatever, like they don't want to have to keep running with him for like 5 more years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tyler Lockett signs a big deal yesterday. I'm pretty sure it's 4 years, $69 million, correct?
Around there.
Sounds right. 4-year, $69.2 million extension. Puts him at, what did we say, the
ninth
highest paid receiver in football. Wow. That he got paid. He got paid. I was not expecting him to get this much, if I'm being completely honest. But good for him. He's 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that he just has the connection with Russ that they were going to do whatever they can to keep him. And he's probably I know he and DK are good buddies, so I'm assuming they want to keep. I don't know. I think they just value him as he's a core part of our franchise, and they're going to keep him.
Yeah,
this is probably the last contract he signs with us long term, at least.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
My only thing is that he just has to stay healthy. He's
right.
Been, every year, the last 2 years, he's been have little injuries here and there, ankle,
mm-hmm.
like thigh injuries. If he can stay on the field, he is electric. Like, his ability to toe-tap catches. I mean, I know Antonio Brown had, like, the Tony toe-tap thing, but Tyler Lockett is amazing at that. And their connection with Russ, like you mentioned, I'm fine with it. I think they're a really good combination there, but it's a lot of money. And I couldn't even imagine, you mentioned, like, he's making more than Mike Evans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagining Mike Evans with Russell Wilson and that connection, how that would be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm fine with that. I think Tyler's a really good person in that locker room and keeping him around.
Well, I mean, list, like, Evans, he's right above Evans, Woods, Brandon Cooks, Adam Thielen, Chris Godwin,
Brandon
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
But then also, like, Davante Adams, 14.5. Stephon Diggs, 14.4. I mean, like he got a lot. He got a lot of money. And, yeah, I'm with you, Matthew. If he doesn't stay healthy, this is not a good deal for the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, last year, they kind of, like, that Tyler Lockett, Russell Wilson, they kind of went away. Like I'm not saying, like, went away completely, but, like, they kind of went away from just Tyler Lockett, like, the big plays, you know? Like, I felt like he was going to DK a lot. And that might be due to injuries, like
I think that's a big part of it, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, you're going to pay a guy all this money, like, and you're right. Like, as a Niners fan, I hate the connection that Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett have, especially with those deep corner shots where you're right. He's just toe-tapping. It's like, how? Like, what are you supposed to do as a defense? Like, it's impossible to guard. But if you're going to pay a guy that money, like I think they're better when they use DK and Tyler Lockett. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
not, it shouldn't be a tunnel vision to the biggest guy on the field. Either.
Yeah.
I think Tyler Lockett helps.
Yeah.
DK a lot.
I remember it was like kind of the season where it was like the Seahawks were kind of making the shift from let Russ cook to like, hey, our defense is actually working, but somehow Russ isn't cooking anymore. But there was like a weird, like it was like a turn almost where Tyler Lockett just like wasn't really getting like a lot of like targets or really anything. And like he was running like half effort routes. Like he just it looked like he was maybe injured, but they just wanted him as like a decoy.
Yeah.
But it was like that for a while. And
yeah, he had some really. He just had a really up and down season.
Mm-hmm.
The big question I was thinking about after this trade was what happens with DK. And I'm looking, and he has this year and one more year left on his deal. So it's likely next off season we see a deal done with DK. Isn't that generally how it goes? Like a year before. Especially with the guy you're gonna lock up, it's gonna be next season, next off season most likely when we get DK's new deal. How much do you guys think he gets? I mean, he's 24, 25 when he signs the new deal.
Assuming this season he does just as good as he did this year, like, he's going to want at least this much, right?
Oh, does he ask for more than D-Hop?
I think he probably a little above Julio money. I don't know about $27 million, but, I mean, obviously, yeah, it depends on how he does. But, I mean, I could see him asking for the, probably $24 million. I think, what, Julio's at, 22, and the D-Hop's like 27. I think somewhere in there is pretty healthy. I think he should be satisfied with that. If they offer multi-year for $24 million.
I would
keep in mind, he dropped three or four touchdowns.
Yeah.
So if he fixes that, like those numbers are going to be really good. And I feel like he's going to be justified.
And it's not even that he's not even in his prime.
No.
He's not even close to his prime. That's what I think he's going to say. He's going to be like, I'm just going to keep improving.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, let me go to the Cardinals. Let me go to this other team.
They'll pay
me. With
me.
Yeah.
Are the Seahawks going to be able to afford him?
That's the tough one. That's the tough one. You're paying Russ 40, whatever the cap is going to be.
You just pay Lockett, and now you're going
to be tough.
Pay DK as well.
But it's going to go up, so that's good.
I mean, I assume like Bobby Wagner and KJ, those guys are probably going to be out the door. But
yeah.
Dwayne Brown will be also, but we also have to sign Jamal Adams if we want to keep
him. Yeah, that's the next big one, I would say, before DK.
Let me see. Did Jamal, is this the last year of his deal? Yeah.
Yeah,
Jamal, we're gonna sign. Well, I have to sign him.
Yeah, we better. We gave up like 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, if we don't sign him,
it's a rental fund.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you ever
do that? Don't re-sign him, that's the dumbest trade you've ever made.
That's worse for coming out.
But if we do re-sign him, then I think it's a really good trade. Like, I think that trade. Something happened to you, I thought.
No, it's okay. It's not affecting you, but it's
okay. All right. Final four is set. I don't have anything too much to say about. Like, it's Baylor, Houston, and then Gonzaga, UCLA. I'm not super, like, hyped.
Yeah.
For those matchups, I think we all hope it's Baylor, Gonzaga, because that's the matchup we all want. Like, that's the matchup everyone wants to see.
I mean, Houston's kind of surprising, just what they've been doing and the kind of hype around them now. It's kind of crazy. I hope it's Baylor, Gonzaga. And I think Gonzaga's going to blow out UCLA. That's sad to say, but. Good for UCLA, though. I mean, what a run. I mean, but I do think it's obvious.
I don't think UCLA can keep up with Gonzaga if Gonzaga just didn't play defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they can score that well. So, I agree. I think Gonzaga can score 80 with their eyes closed. And I don't think UCLA can score 80 if there's an extra 20 minutes in the game. I mean, they barely got 50 against Michigan.
Yeah.
So
I do think that Baylor-Houston game is going to be good, though. I think that's going to be a great game.
Yeah, Houston plays really good defense. They're a really good team. They're underrated, for sure. But, I mean, Gonzaga-Houston just wouldn't be as juicy as Gonzaga-Baylor.
Yeah.
I mean, what else do we have? Baseball? I don't know what else.
Baseball.
Baseball starts today. That's all I was going to say about it, though. We got the Mariners-Giants later.
Watching Garrett Cole paint outside low corner.
What's the score of that game?
Two
bottom seven. One out. Yankees at the bases of the Aaron Judge is up to bat.
Oh, awesome.
Did you see that the Nationals-Mets game got canceled?
It's a Red Sox game.
Red Sox. That game got rained out, but then the Mets-Nationals game was like a COVID thing, which sucks. First game of the year to have a COVID issue.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
And then the Tigers game. I know I talked to you guys about that. Miguel Cabrera hits a home run in the snow and then slides into second base because he didn't know where the ball went. That was funny. That's crazy. Now it was sunny there. Now.
I wonder what the first base coach was doing. Was he like, nice, like good hit, or was he just like, go, 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 and Miguel's just running, you know? Like, I wonder, like, did he not see it either? Like,
oh, Reed said, ouch, Judge? I don't know what happened. I'm behind. Did he
get hit?
Oh, he grounded out, I think.
Oh, tough.
Hold on. Let's see. Hold on.
Wait for it.
Yeah, he grounded out. Bases loaded. Into a double play?
Oh, no.
Oh, with the bases loaded. Yeah. That is tough.
He's had a terrible day. Well, man, he's like 0-3 as well.
He's had a terrible couple years. After his rookie year, Judge has not been the same.
Yeah.
Doubled him up. Yep. That's crazy.
Yeah, went and got veneers this offseason, so maybe that'll switch things up for him,
yeah. Yeah, there you go.
More confident about his look.
Mm-hmm. All right, what else do we have? Anything? I'm looking, okay, so here's our upcoming schedule. We're going to do 2 episodes for the pod this week. We'll do a championship preview for March Madness on Sunday because the Final Fours will be Saturday. So Sunday night we'll do a preview of the championship game.
What is that, Monday?
Yeah. So that'll be out before the championship game. Matthew has an MLB season preview on Sunday's episode or Monday's episode. If there's any NFL news, we'll get to that. And then we're going to start our draft rankings, and we'll start with quarterbacks. So that could be a long – we could probably discuss our top quarterbacks. And like we said before, we'll add Darnold in there too. Maybe we'll do a separate rankings with Darnold. But so we'll start that.
I hate to break our hearts, but – Monday, we'll probably miss that championship game, huh?
Yeah.
Tough.
Well,
what time does it start?
I think it starts probably the same time our game starts.
We have 4:30 and 6:30.
They probably missed the first half,
okay.
At least. Okay. The championship game?
Starts at 7 p.m.
Our time?
Apparently.
Oh, well, the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? How long is Kyle Lewis out?
At least 2 weeks.
2 weeks? Yikes. Reed just asked in the chat. That's why. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying we're going to miss that. But
if
we're
we
not.
Win.
Yeah, true.
I'm pessimistic now.
We're playing Fiji.
Okay. That's true. But then if we win, we play an undefeated team.
Yeah.
So. And then I think on Thursday we'll do an episode. Or Wednesday night, maybe. But we'll do a March Madness Championship recap. And then a Masters preview with Ty, I think. Or do we just want to double them up on Sunday? We're going to have two interviews.
That'll be
a long pod. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I don't know. I think it'd be easier if we just split them up.
What are you going?
Mm-hmm. Who's the players to watch on the Giants, Brandon?
Yastrzemski's our up-and-coming guy. He had a great year before the COVID year, I want to say, and then he had a really good COVID half season. He's a stud. Donovan Solano's been he's our third baseman. He's been pretty dang good. The pitching staff is what I'm worried about. I mean, Cueto's coming back off of Tommy John.
He's still playing.
Yes. He's coming back off of Tommy John, so who knows what he's going to be. I think we have Kevin Gausman going tonight, so it's pretty hard, but it's going to be a rough season. We had our golden years between 2010 and 2014, and then since then it's been okay, but, like, Buster Posey's back this year, but I don't know what he's going to do. The dude's, like, brittle. He's just old. Who's the, Matthew, who's the young guy that you said you were excited about? I'm trying to remember what
the
his
Mariners?
Name was. No, the Giants. Maybe it's TJ that said it, but we have a young prospect that's they were going to bring up and they brought up. I can't remember his name, but they're pretty excited about
Did
him.
Did they bring up Joey Bart?
And then Joey Bart's going to be our starting catcher, yeah. He should be our starting catcher or first base, one or two. But besides that, I mean, it's going to be a pretty sucky year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it'll be fun tonight. We'll have
I'm
some hope.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a blowout. That's why I'm hoping either one of us doesn't get blown out, because then we're just going to be like,
it was fun.
Cool, fun to watch. What are you saying?
I'm not going to be too upset.
If the Mariners blow out the Giants, I will not be upset. If we get blown out, then I will walk downstairs before them. I don't care.
See, if the Giants win longevity, I just don't have any hope with the Padres and Dodgers in our division. So, what are you going to do?
So then, what's our plan for spring break? What are we going to do? I want to do a mock draft pod with, I don't know, we were talking about the format of that with our last pod. Because we'll be in Bothell with Cole, Reed, Mitch, Anthony, possibly. Like, do we want to, I don't know. I'm a little nervous of doing that pod on the 16th. Ish. I think that was a tentative date because there's a lot that could change even in like a couple weeks of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was just thinking we just do a mega spring or NFL draft pod and we just go through each pick and like talk about what we think the team should do there rather than what we did last year with the mock draft format.
Because
I don't want to give each person a team and tell them like
cluster.
That just seems like a that'd be too confusing. So, I think that'll be our mock draft pod. And then we got a interview lined up for spring break. I'm not going to give away who, because I want to make sure it's 100% before it happens. But I think it'll be like one of our bigger, at least it'll be my favorite guest that we've had on the podcast.
All the other guys.
I think I'll get some retweets.
I'm just it's the guest I'm most excited to interview because I did when we first started the pod, me and Eli, and I had the idea for the pod, I wrote down a list of like 6 or 7 people that like were realistic to get on the pod, but I would be really really excited for. And this guy's on the list. He's been on the list. A guy that I really wanted to interview, and I think we got lined up when we're in Bothell for spring break. So that's a pretty big hint. We didn't get lined up in Boise. We got lined up in Bothell. But yeah, I'll tweet out like a, if we get it, if it's done, I'll tweet out Instagram picture of it with like the little eyeball emojis just to hype people up. Let me see. Who else do I have? I have one of the other guys on the list is Hank Bachmeier. He was also on the list. I think
he's on my list.
Is there a certain punter that's on the list or not?
He is on the list, yes. There's a couple others that are like semi-realistic because I didn't want to just put like Tom Brady.
It was real.
Yeah, exactly.
Drafted by the Seahawks.
LeBron, like I'm not going to put, but there's a couple that I okay, I think if I asked Brandon Hawkins, Brandon, if you're listening, I'm just saying, like, I think if I really, like, asked him, I think he could get Hank for us. I think he might be able to do that.
The question is.
But I don't want to take a man. I don't want to be like, hey.
Please.
Yeah.
What if he gets beat out in the QB competition?
That would suck.
That's the thing. We interviewed the second-string quarterback for the Boise State Broncos.
Hey, we still like Hank.
I love Hank.
There's also another interview that we might have lined up in the month of April. That is a coach of a college football team. A head coach. Have I told you guys about this?
Yeah.
Nick Saban is coming on the podcast.
Nick Saban for the shed.
Have I told you guys about that? College coach?
So the coach that just left Boise State and went to Auburn?
No, that would be sick. So the guy that I've been emailing, well, I've emailed once back and a DM with Hugh Freeze, the coach of the Liberty Flames, former Ole Miss Rebels football head coach. That would be pretty sick if we got him on the pod. Only be about 15 minutes, but yeah, that might be coming up.
I take a cameo.
Give me one question.
Like,
have him say Game Chat podcast.
I don't know what it's called, but like you can pay people and it's like some celebrity and it's like happy birthday.
Yeah.
We'll just get this guy and be like, welcome to the Game Chat podcast.
This is Hugh Freeze.
She said typically coach and squeeze in about 15 minutes for an interview.
I really want to see the whole.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is a assistant.
His name is Hannah.
No, that's his assistant.
Okay.
I think it's his daughter. It's her assistant.
Oh, cool. Keep it in the family. Yeah, what a lifetime job that is. Sign me up. Are you kidding me?
So.
Until you got retired.
But that was in March. And she said he won't be available until April. Because they're in spring ball.
Well, you say we're available.
That's what I said. Yeah. I said,
we're available.
You said, give me any.
24/7. How far do I have to go? Is it 2 weeks in a year, 12 months?
That'd be a pretty sick interview.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a special guest lined up over spring break. And I'm trying to think what else. Anything else? I don't know. I'm just stalling. We have 7 minutes left. We can end the show early.
There was one thing I wanted to talk about when we were talking about the rebuild teams. Not really rebuild, I guess, but AFC East. I didn't want to bring it up because it wasn't super serious, but the Dolphins are one of those teams where they're probably not going to be great in the regular season, but on Madden, they're going to be a nightmare to face just because they have Byron Jones and Xavier Howard.
Really?
In Madden, the formula for a CPU team to just be amazing is to have, like, one star corner.
Yeah.
And Byron Jones and Xavier Howard both have pretty high ratings on Madden, so.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Corners are, like, the OP position for the CPUs.
I do have something to bring up. I'm not a big Dan Orlovsky guy. Did you guys see him have to eat his words?
Yes, no.
So he came out and on a podcast, kind of just spitting words out, just talking out. But he was like, yeah, Justin Fields, like, his work ethic is being questioned. And people don't know if he really wants to be that star guy and all this. And, like, people, like, went at his neck, right?
Right.
And so he puts out a video. I think it was like last night or this morning, and he was like, I interviewed two different people. Is it April
4th? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
George Hill.
And he put out a video this morning, and it was like, I talked to Ohio State's offensive something, and he was like, Justin Fields has a great work ethic and all this stuff, but it was like Dan Orlovsky, like, getting pretty much exposed,
right. on social media, and he had to, like, track back. But I hate Daryl Austin. It was just fun to see him like, get just targeted by everybody. Like, where did you get this information? Because he didn't give any sources or anything. You know?
Right.
Like, pretty much I was talking out of my butt.
Did you guys see that Fields interview after his pro day? And they were, the woman was like, so, like, what do you say about, like, you know, a lot of people are seeing, like, Mac Jones, like, rise up in the draft ranks. Like, what are you thinking? He goes, you know, it's like if a team scoops out of me or whatever, he's like, that's their decision. That's what they live with. But, you know, I think I'm the best quarterback in the draft. And he bluntly just said, I think I'm the best quarterback in the draft.
Yeah. And if you don't say that, I'm concerned.
Kyle, that's true. He's like, I'm the second best. He's like, Trevor Lawrence, yeah, Trevor Lawrence is a lot better than me. You know?
What did Kyle Pitts say?
Kyle Pitts said, I'm going to be the best ever today. So I'm really going to be the best football player ever.
I would hope you'd say that.
No. Yeah. You can't do this. If they don't, then everybody's going to be like, well, does he really want to be great? You know, like there's the
right.
bring up all the stupid questions.
Josh
like,
Rosen thought he was the best quarterback.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
How much you buy into it, yeah?
Yeah. All right. Should we wrap it up?
Wrap it up?
I don't have anything more.
Is this still 2-2?
Yeah.
The Yankees big are doing terrible today.
That's always the Yankees.
Strikeout or home run.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Yankees are going for 3 as well. Stanton's definitely over 3.
Gary hit a bomb.
And Gary hit a bomb, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was their only runs. Yeah.
His
home run. All right, we'll see you guys on Monday morning. Pod will be out, and yeah, that's all we got. Later.